We'll begin with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we are gathered together here this day to thank you, gathered by your Holy Spirit, to thank you for all the blessings which you've given us during the past year and actually during the past years of our lives. Blessings both in the physical realm and also the spiritual realm. We pray that you fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit this day and strengthen our faith in you as we meditate upon the words which you've given us. We pray this in your name. Amen. I'd like to begin like we normally do by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live via the speakerphones and also those who will be receiving CDs of the sermon part of the service in the coming weeks. We're in Minnesota Gopher Land today. Service coming from the home of Sean and Christy in Shakopee, where we are enjoying just a fantastically beautiful day. Temperatures must be in the 50s. Sun is shining, and it's already a day that weather-wise we can be extremely thankful for. Farmers in this area pretty much have their crops in already, while back in the Wisconsin side we've had rain, and they haven't been able to get out into the fields as much as they would have liked, so there's still some corn standing in the fields there. But if the weather like this continues, it looks like the whole harvest will be gathered in. I would like to invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Psalm 92, verse 12. We're going to be looking at a few thoughts from the words of that verse. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The children of God and the children of devil are opposite in so many ways. And one of the key ways that you find the oppositeness is in the thought of thanksgiving. Describing the children of the devil in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, the Holy Spirit says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It's a characteristic of a child of the devil that he is not thankful. He can sit down to a plate of food and never even think of thanking God for it. And this goes on day after day after day in every area of his life. The ungodly are not thankful. Godly, just the opposite. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. The in everything is the hardest part, isn't it? Because sometimes it's very difficult to give thanks to God. In approaching a thought like this, there are two verses that come to mind. One is from Isaiah 55, where God says this, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And if I believe that my Heavenly Father is guiding every single thing that comes into my life, then this verse answers a lot of my questions. I don't think the way he does, and I don't see things the way he does. His thoughts are much higher than my thoughts. His ways are much higher than mine. We've got that. And then we've got this from 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So right now our position, we're kind of looking through a window that has been literally covered with smoke stains. And you can see vague images on the other side of the window, but you can't make anything out. And this is how we're looking at things. But the time will come, God promises us, that the stains will be taken away and we're going to see things the way they really are. And then we're going to know as we are known. And the promise is that at that day we will see that everything that happened in our life, even the times where it seemed like things were out of control and our whole life was exploding in our faces, that they all work together for our good. So we cling to these two things. But I think we can do even more. Very, very often it is instructive to open the pages of what I call the volume of nature. Because there are some things in nature that are very clear and plain that if we have spiritual eyesight, give us tremendous insight into what's happening, even in our lives. Now, this is true because the same one who wrote the Holy Scripture, the Holy Spirit, was involved in the creation of everything. And there is no disagreement between true science, and I'm talking about true science, not the men who call themselves scientists but step outside their fields and make all sorts of ridiculous statements. But there's no disagreement between true science and what you find in Holy Scripture. Now, many, many times in the Bible, the Bible compares your life and mine to the life of a tree. We think of Psalm 92, which we just read. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now, if this is true, then you and I should be able to learn a lot about our own lives when we look at the growth of a tree. How does a tree grow? How do we grow? And the more we learn about the growth of the tree, the more we're going to begin to understand at least a little bit of the things that are happening in our own life. What I'm going to do this afternoon is list 8 characteristics of the growth of the tree. After the service, we'll have a test to see how many you remember. But we're going to look at what a scientist says. And then right after that, we're going to look at what the Holy Spirit tells us in Scripture. Now, the scientist, and I don't know anything about this. I'm taking somebody's word for it. The scientist that we're going to be quoting is a man called Philip Keller. Some of you may be acquainted with some of his books. One especially, a wonderful book, is A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Philip Keller was a scientist. He was also a shepherd. He has tremendous insight into the life of a sheep. And when you read that book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, a lot of beautiful thoughts open up. So now we're going to have a scientist look at a tree. Tell us how it grows. Some things you already know. A tree needs light, a tree needs water, we all know that. But there are going to be some surprises. At least there were for me. Scientist. Growth is impossible without life being present. Therefore, it follows that the first requirement for the growth of a tree is life. That's something that I never thought of before. A dead thing can't grow. So if there is some sign of growth, that means at least there's some life there. This is what the Holy Spirit tells us in John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to destroy and to kill. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. There are two Greek words in the New Testament that are translated life. One is bios. Our word biology comes from it. It means living, growing. But there's a deeper word called zoe. And that's a much deeper kind of life. It's a kind of life that has a purpose to it and a meaning to it. The kind of life that's never going to end with the grave. It's going to keep going on forever and ever and ever. That's the kind of life that the Son of God is talking about. Now, we are supposed to grow in grace and knowledge. If you are growing in grace and knowledge, if you have a love for the Word of God and you're meditating upon it by day and by night, that's a sign that there's life in you. Because life is a prerequisite for growth in a tree, and it's a prerequisite for growth in life, in your life and mine. Question, is a tree thankful for life? Absolutely. should we be thankful for life? Thanksgiving Day, that's where it starts. Another one, water. We all knew that. The vital process, this is the scientist, Philip Keller, the vital life process of an organism is dependent upon moisture in its cells. Water is essential to survival. A flourishing tree may be 80% moisture. There must be a continuous supply if growth is to proceed normally. Now, the spiritual applications here just jump out at you. This is why God tells us to meditate upon the Word of God day and night. We need it. It's got to be a continuous supply, and so often in Scripture, the Word of God is compared to water. Holy Spirit says, Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful or anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Question: should a tree be thankful for water? Should you and I be thankful for water, especially the water of the Word? Another one, light. The scientist again. In the physical world of plants, shrubs, and trees, light is the key to life. Without light, there can only be degeneration and death. As you walk through the forest, you will notice that everything growing in it is competing for light. The counterpart, the Holy Spirit tells us in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth it not. Physical light comes from the sun, the S-U-N. Spiritual life comes from the sun, the capital S-O-N. Should a tree be thankful for light? Absolutely. Should you and I be thankful for light? Another one, heat. I wouldn't have thought of this one. The scientist again. The next requirement for growth is heat. A tree may be flooded with light, but unless the temperature is above 40 degrees Fahrenheit, there will be little or no growth. Heat. I never would have thought of that. But the Holy Spirit gives us this way in Luke 24:32. They said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures?" And, you know, I really think heat is, it generates from the heart. You can have a lot of light, but no heat at all. I've heard sermons like that, doctrinally correct right on down the line, but no heat. Well, heat comes from the Holy Spirit in the heart. A question, should a tree be thankful for heat? Should you and I be thankful for heat? Another one I wouldn't have thought of, fire. The scientist again. The growth of forest trees all over the world is closely linked with fire. Fire is a determining factor in the survival of certain species. For instance, some trees are definitely fire resistant. Their thick, tough, cork-like bark will scarcely burn at all, so that they can withstand hot fires that would destroy other species. So the fires destroy those who are competing with them for the light, and they have more of it. I would never have thought of that. But the scriptural counterpart is in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, which one of us would think of this? That when fiery trials come into our lives, we should thank God for that. Because you're growing. You're growing. Again, the fishermen in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye also may be glad with exceeding joy. Fiery trials, yes, they hurt and they burn. But a tree grows from that. Should a tree be thankful for fiery trials and forest fires? Should we be thankful? Weather. The scientist again. Weather is a most important and ever-present part of any environment in which a tree grows. Storms, hail, blizzards, sleet, snow, frost, or lashing winds make an inescapable impact upon all plant life, but especially on trees that are long-lived. Not until later in life, when I began serious mountain climbing, did I fully understand what weather could do to wood. High up on the hills, well above the thick forest stands, where individual trees stood exposed on some rugged ridge, I found trees of exquisite beauty and matchless character. There they stood, their forms twisted and battered into striking shapes. Here was the stuff to delight an artist and beauty to challenge a photographer. But beside this, all the fury of the sleet and wind and snow and sun had fashioned an inner beauty beyond belief. Here was wood with grain of luster and lovely lines, wood with whirls and curves that would delight the heart of a wood carver. Now, the kind of growth that they're talking about here is only possible in the middle of adversity. Storms, sleet, snow, wind. Now the Holy Spirit. Psalm 148, 7 to 9. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons in all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. This is why the Son of God told his people, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If the world hates you, know that it hated me first. Question. Should a tree be thankful for the weather? Not only the soft breezes and the warm sunshine, but the storms and the wind and the hail. Should a tree be thankful for all these things? Should you and I be thankful for all these things? Darkness. No, I never ever would have thought of this one. The scientists. Because of the way of the Lord God created the heaven and the earth, it is a natural phenomenon that there should be both light and darkness upon the planet. A tree is exposed to both. Scientists tell us that the tree's response to darkness is active life. During darkness, ample energy is generated to fulfill the essential functions of life, of the life processes within the tree. Darkness is the time during which a tree restores its strength, replenishes its energy, refreshes its life, and finds respite from the heat and activity of the day. I never would have thought of that. A child of God also experiences darkness in his life. sometimes more than what we would like. We have tears, sorrows, sadness, lose loved ones. Often these events are such that we don't have any control of them whatsoever. How do we react to these times of darkness? Psalm 23, the beautiful Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In Job 35:10, none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night? That's one of my favorite titles of God. He's a God that giveth songs in the night. And when you're under trial and tribulation and sorrow, God has a song for you to sing, and I'll guarantee you it will be a song of thanksgiving. One more, rest. The scientist again. One of the conditions most frequently forgotten in thinking about the growth of a tree is rest. Speaking in technical scientific terms, this would be dormancy. It is important to remember that dormancy is not death. A tree may appear to be dead. All of its leaves have fallen. Its branches are bare. It looks like a stark skeleton. Nevertheless, that tree is very much alive. It's only at rest. That's why when Lazarus was laying in the grave, the Son of God said to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." He might look dead, but he's not. The growth of a tree again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hebrews 4, there remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest hath also ceased from his own works as God did from his. O grave, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Should we be thankful for death? Should a tree be thankful for the rest that God gives us? Should we be? You know, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And the promise is that every single tree that God has planted is going to be blessed in every single thing that happens. There's grace involved in everything. Now, it may not look like it, but the word is, be patient. God isn't finished with us yet. And wait till you see the finished product. We'll close the sermon with a poem that we've got in the front part of the bulletin, a Thanksgiving poem. It goes like this. Good timber does not grow in ease. The stronger wind, the tougher trees. The farther sky, the greater length. The more the storm, the more the strength. By sun and cold, by rain and snows, in tree or us, good timber grows. Now, we'll close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, on this Thanksgiving Day, we approach your throne of grace in thankfulness to you, not only for the food which you've given us every day to sustain our physical lives, but also for the spiritual food to sustain our souls. And finally, our Thanksgiving expands to every single second of our existence and everything that you send into our lives, knowing that there is a blessing in all of it, and that it is the part of the growth of a tree. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will keep us faithful to you, until finally at the last day we may appear by that tree planted by the living waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and whatever he does shall prosper.